Good morning, everyone.
Let's go ahead and take our seats.
We welcome everyone who's joining us here this morning. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to see you all here. You may be wondering why I'm here with this microphone instead of a lapel. Well, the reason is we have a very special guest joining us this morning. Our brother, Jesse Stewart, formerly from the Natale Church of Christ, but now at Austin, he will be attending the Southwest School of Bible Studies. Our brother is accompanied by his wife, Holly, and his two children, Avery and Tate, and the one that will be coming, I think you said you're 18 weeks, 3 hours, and 2 minutes, something like that. She's not counting down, right? But our brother has been, our eldership has extended the invitation to our brother, and he has graciously accepted. We, of course, are praying for our brother, and he asks that we all continue to keep him and his family in prayers during this this process where they have great plans and they have a great opportunity to be able to also add to the kingdom more servants that can preach and teach and do some missionary work, which is about the main thrust of what our brother's thinking. So we're going to start with the word of prayer, and then after the prayer, I will pass it on to our brother. If you will please bow with me. Before we pray, make sure that your cell phones are off. If you can make sure they're off, any kind of electronics, so that we can remove any distractions so that we can focus solely on the Word of God. If anyone did not receive one of the handouts that Brother Jesse passed around, just raise your hand and I can get it to you. And that way you can all be able to have no excuse to say the test that will be taken afterwards. So if you will, please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we come before Thy throne of grace, grateful, Father, for the life and for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. Father, we are grateful because we know, Lord, that without Thee there is no opportunity to be able to do the things that Thou, Father, have wanted us to do. But Father, we are also grateful for the honor to be able to praise Thee, Lord, on this first day of the week as Thy saints. Father, as our brother Stewart will be teaching us this morning, please be with him, Father. Allow him to recollect everything that he has been able to learn from Thy word, and that he may be able to share it in a spirit of love and humility, Father. But above all, grant him the strength and the boldness to be able to apply these daily livings in his personal life and also teach with his example as he's done thus far, Father. Father, for those who have the zeal to be here, but because of health or other unforeseen circumstances will not be able to join us, please be with them, Father, so that in the next appointed time, if it be Thy will, they too may be able to be here with us, Father, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Forgive us when we have failed Thee, forgive us when we have sinned, and we pray this in the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Such a wonderful morning, a beautiful drive coming from Austin. Great to be with y'all. I got to meet Obed several years back at the Enhanced Bible Studies that they host at Northern Oaks Church of Christ here in San Antonio. And it's been a pleasure getting to meet him and hear his lessons over the years. And highly encourage anybody that hasn't been to one of those classes to go to them. We will start the planning session this Thursday for them for this next quarter. This morning I will be in the book of Joshua. So if y'all turn to Joshua chapter 24, that's where we'll be for this morning's lesson. And real quick, I'm just going to give a recap of chapter 23. In chapter 23 of Joshua, we see that Joshua, he is addressing the Israelites. He reminds them of his age and that he's fixing to die. Verses 3 and 4, we see all that God done for Israel. He fought for them. He gave them the land promised. In verse 6, he says to keep his written word. Verse 8, to cleave to God. Verse 11, to love the Lord. Verses 12 and 13, if we fall for the snares and the traps, it's just going to push us further and further from God. Verses 14 and 15, Joshua is giving warning that he's fixing to die, and God has fulfilled the promise of all the good things, but also will fulfill of the bad things. In verse 16, God is a just God and has given them the law to live by and giving them their reward and punishment by it. You see, Joshua, he knew these people and he knew their tendency to fall back and worship idols, to worship other gods. As we go into chapter 24, we will see that he feels he needs to give them a speech again, and he's going to actually get a commitment from them in verse 25. The previous chapter contains Joshua's own last words of warning to Israel. In chapter 24, he is God's mouthpiece by saying, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel." If I could get someone to read Joshua chapter 23, verse 2, and someone to read Joshua 24, verse 1 and 2.
And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, "I am old and advanced in age." And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shishim, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt in the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Moses, and they served other gods."
So first off, when we're studying the Bible, we want to recognize the audience that we're hearing of, that Joshua is talking to, why it's happening, and how we can apply it to our lives. So this morning, as we go through the scriptures, we will talk about application. Now, in verse 1, we know that Joshua is talking to all the tribes of Israel. So question, is Joshua talking to the same group of people that we've seen in chapter 23 that is talking about in chapter 24? In 23, he says all of Israel, and in chapter 24, we see all the tribes of Israel. Could this be the very same group of people? Perhaps. In Joshua 24:2, we see that Joshua says to all the people. Now, I want y'all to realize this is a very large gathering. This is a lot of people. We know this by Exodus 18:25-26, that Moses chose able men to be leaders of thousands. We also see in 1 Samuel 10:19 that now present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. So we know that this is a very large gathering, and we also see the importance of godly leadership back then as is important today by having elders to shepherd the flock. But we see where the elders here were in charge of thousands. So when Joshua is talking to this all the people, this is a very large gathering. We know that Joshua is old, and he is most likely giving his farewell speech. We see in chapter 23:2, where he tells Israel, "I am old, advanced in age." Even though it is also possible that going into chapter 4, that he has lived longer than originally he thought. We see in Joshua 23, verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going all the way of the earth." So he was expecting to die, but he is giving one last speech in chapter 24. For those of us that are in ministry, this last farewell speech could be looked at as he was giving his last sermon. The end of verse 1, "And they presented themselves before God." So question, how do you think they presented themselves before God? And is it possible that they worshipped Him? Yes? How do we present ourselves before God? Anyone?
Go to church. Come to church to worship.
Come to church to worship? I like to think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll be going through this in my sermon later today, but present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Paul is reminding them from his Romans chapter 11 of all the mercies that God has done for them. Here in Joshua, we're going through that very same message saying, "I plead with you to give yourselves to God. Look at all He has done for you," and he's going to list these as we go into 24 verses 2 through 13. How do we present ourselves before God in worship? Acts of worship. We come together, we pray, we sing hymns, we partake of the Lord's Supper, we hear the Word preached to us, and we give. But what is required of each one of these to be acceptable worship to God from every one of us?
Baptism of the Spirit.
Done in the Spirit. One thing I'd like to point out is participation. And we're going to see that they're going to participate later in verse 25. But when we come together and when we're praying and when we're singing, it's something that is required from each and every one of us. We cannot just sit here in the pew and go to sleep or not participate to be acceptable worship to God. So we're going to see that we need to participate and that they're going to participate later. We also see in verse 2 that he says, "Thus says the Lord, God of Israel." What do we think about when we hear that in the Scriptures? "Thus say the Lord." Who do we think speaking normally? Like a prophet or something? We also see the word flood. Those of you that are using the King James Bible, we see the word mentioned here, flood, four times in Joshua 24. In Hebrew, it stands for river. If you're using a New King James, it's translated river. We see that Abraham and Nahor's father, they lived on the other side of the river and they worshipped other gods. If somebody could read Joshua chapter 24, verses 3 through 13, please. 24, 3 through 13.
"Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand, and that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant."
In verses 2 through 13, we see all that God did for Israel. Their fathers, they dwelt on the other side of the flood. "I took Abraham, I led him through the land of Canaan. I multiplied his seed even at his old age. I gave him Isaac. To Esau I gave Mount Seir. I sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt. I plagued it to get the people out. When the Egyptians persuade after you with their chariots and horsemen, I brought the seas upon them. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites. I destroyed them. I give you their land that you live in now. When the king of Moab sent Balaam to curse your people, I delivered them in your hand. Then when you went to Jericho, I delivered the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I sent the hornet before you and drove out the two kings of the Amorites. And I give you a land in which you did not labor, cities you did not build, and you live in them. You eat of the crops that you did not grow." Joshua is saying, look at everything that God did for Israel. Look at everything that your fathers went through, and you sit here in these towns, in these homes, and you get to reap of the crops and live in these homes you did not build. And look at everything your fathers went through. And you're sitting here, you're getting to reap all the benefits. And then later in verse 23, we see what they are still worshiping other gods. They're still worshiping idols. What has God done for us? Question.
Salvation.
He sent Christ. But God has done everything. We have everything that we have because of God. But an important one is Christ. He sent Christ to this world so that we may have eternal life with Him. Someone please read Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15.
"Therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away
way God, which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and served you the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Now therefore fear the Lord. Joshua was saying it is clear by looking at everything that God has done for you. Look what He did to everyone that worshipped other gods. We see that He consumed them like the Amorites, and He gave them the land that they live in. You need to fear the Lord. You need to serve Him in sincerity. You need to serve Him in truth. Put away the gods your father served over there in Egypt. And then in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you need to make a choice. And you need to make a choice now. You can serve the gods your father served over there in Egypt. You can serve the gods of the Amorites. Or you can serve the Lord. Joshua tells them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Ultimately, we have that same choice today. We all have to serve something. And we all need to look at our own lives and see, what are we serving? Are we putting God a priority? Do we put a priority of coming to Bible class, coming to worship? Do we put church a priority? Do we put studying the Scriptures a priority? Or is there something else in our lives that we are putting as a priority? Because ultimately we all serve something, whether it be God or it be Satan. Everything that we do in our lives, we need to think, does this bring glory? And does this bring honor to God? Every word that comes out of our mouth, we need to think, does this bring glory and honor to God? I need three readers. Luke 12:34. And someone else find 1 Corinthians 10:31. And then 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. But Luke 12:34 first. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. We must meditate constantly on God's Word and do nothing but the things that are holy and pure. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Whether therefore he eats or drinks, or whatsoever he do all to the glory of God.
Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20.
Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Our body is the temple, and it was bought with a price. Are there idols that we serve that get in the way of us serving the Lord today? Y'all name a few?
Work.
Work?
Football,
sports,
entertainment,
technology,
money,
possessions,
family.
Yeah, family, of course. Anything that we put over God becomes an idol in our life, and it could be anything. Anything you can name. I want you to think of some of these decisions. And do these decisions bring you into some form of slavery? Something that's going to take up all of your time to where there is no time for God? It could be like saying golfing. I'm just going to go maybe once, maybe twice this week. Next thing you know, you're living next to the golf course. Maybe it's hunting or fishing. Say, I'll just go maybe once, maybe twice this week. The next thing you know, you're spending every waking moment away from work and your family in the deer blind hunting. Or you're out there on that lake trying to catch that next big bass. Maybe it's you're into cars and trucks or anything like that. And you're spending all your time going to car shows or this off-roading and stuff. Maybe it's worse stuff, sinful stuff, like it could be alcohol. You say maybe just a small glass before bed, it's not going to hurt nothing. And the next thing you know, you're a social drunk. Maybe it's something like smoking, saying one cigarette, one chew, it ain't going to hurt nothing. Next thing you know, you're buying it by the log, you're buying it by the carton. Maybe it's drugs, saying, oh, it's only marijuana, it's a natural plant that God made, surely it ain't going to hurt nothing. Next thing you know, you're injecting yourself. The list can go on and on, but remember, these things are always going to start out very small in our lives. And they are going to grow more and more until we are enslaved in them. Someone please read James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. James 1, 14 through 15. I also want to mention some of the things that have ruined our younger generation. TV, for example. Our kids and even adults, they get into these TV shows and they just get to where they're sitting down on the couch, they're glued to it, and they're watching one show after one show in a series. And then they're getting on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, trying to find the next available show. And then video games. Parents say, oh, well, I'll just let the kids play for a couple hours after school. And the next thing you know, you wake up in the morning, they're still playing from the night before. And then these phones and these iPads, you can't even go sit at a restaurant anymore. Everybody's just glued to their phone, glued to their iPad. And it's even got my kids, it's all they ever want to ask, Dad, can I have your laptop? Dad, can I have your phone so I can play a game? But we need to choose our time more wisely. But why do people do some of these things that I listed? Anyone?
Worldly pleasant?
Some may say greed, pride of life. But in truth, it's everybody is always chasing happiness. Everyone always wants to do things that make them happy. And there's not enough money in the world to make a person happy. People that chase money, they will say, oh, when I get to a million, I'll be good. And then they want more. Then it's 2 million, then 3 million. People that chase possessions, it could be, oh, when I get to that four-bedroom house, I'll be good. And then they want a bigger house on more acreage. Or maybe it's a car or truck that you always wanted, and you get it, and then you want something bigger, you want something faster. If we're chasing money, if we're chasing any kind of worldly possessions, we're just going to want more and more. Only true happiness in this world can be found in God. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, if somebody would read that. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through 16.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye nor members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, the service ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?
Thank you. Be dead to sin. Don't let it reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it. Obed, can you read for me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29? Ephesians 4, 29. Let no words come out of our mouths that are going to hurt somebody, but only to edify someone. Have you ever done something that your conscience was telling you maybe you should not do that? I call it arguing with myself. Have you ever argued with yourself? And this is where you're trying to make a bad decision seem good, where you're trying to justify it. Sometimes we need to listen to our conscience when it's telling us we shouldn't do something. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And then if I could get somebody to read 1 John chapter 3, verse 20.
But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin.
1 John 3:20.
For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things.
When we are having a bad conscience about a decision, sometimes we need to listen to it. It could be, for instance, saying, oh, I got some buddies, I like to go fishing, just so you know, but I got some buddies that invite me Saturday night to go white bass fishing. They're running, been doing good at night, and invite me to go, and you know, I really want to go. But then, you know, like, oh, you know what, it ain't going to be bad. I could miss Sunday morning. I could just make it up in the evening and go. You see, I sit there and I try to make something bad seem good, and I'm sinning against myself. 1 John 3:20, God knows our hearts. God knows all things, and we need to sometimes listen to our hearts when we are getting bad vibes about a decision that we are making. Are our decisions that we are making fulfilling our purpose? Our purpose in this life is bringing glory and honor to God. It should be going to heaven and taking as many people there with us. When Joshua said, choose this day on whom you will serve, this is ultimately the most important choice we can make in our lives, is choosing to follow Christ and to be more like Him. Somebody read Luke 9:23.
And he said to them all, if any man will come after me,
Jesus says, if you choose to follow me, you need to make a choice. You need to follow me. Deny yourself. We need to pick up our cross and like I like what it says is daily. It's not something we do one time. It's something we do every morning, every day. When you wake up in the morning, pray to God. Study His Scriptures. Call your brothers and sisters in Christ. But be a Christian, even if it's in the workplace. Follow Him. Pick up your cross daily. Back to Joshua 24, if somebody would like to read 16 through 18. Joshua 24, 16 through 18. Thank you. We see they confirm that they will not serve other gods and explain why, saying, look at everything God did for us. How could we? The land we have now is because of God. For we will serve Him, for He is our God. And then we go on in verses 19 through 24. If somebody read verse 19 through 24. Joshua tells them they cannot serve God, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. And explains to them if they continue to worship other gods, He will consume them like the Amorites. And we see this in verse 23, that Joshua tells them to put away the strange gods. So we know from this very verse that even after everything they went through, here they are still worshiping other gods, still worshiping idols. When you think of... When I read this for the first time and I was studying this, it's like, how could they do this? I mean, we read of everything they went through, all their fathers went through, and here they are doing it. But then I think about our world today. Look at everything that God's done for us. Look at everything that Christ went through for us. And look at all the churches in our world today. Just here in the U.S., for example. We have churches everywhere teaching all kinds of false doctrine. We have worshiping other gods or worshiping idols. We have the same problem going on today that they were having back then. And then I had a question, what are some idols that we see today? We mentioned some of that earlier. Some people are, you know, they put their jobs, you mentioned earlier, and it may be putting that people want to work more and more overtime. Or maybe it's money or possessions or athletics and sports, entertainment. I mean, the list can just go on and on of the idols that we can put in front of God. Now, in Joshua 24, verses 25 through 28, if somebody would read that.
So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, where it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance.
Thank you, Ben. We see that Joshua, he makes a covenant with the people. This is that participation we talked about in the beginning. He wrote the words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and he set it under the oak by the sanctuary of the Lord. And then Joshua lets the people know, "Let this be a reminder unto you if you start to deny God." And then they all depart and they went to their inheritance. Question, do we do things today to remind us of God and what He has done for us? We talked about earlier about coming to worship. And I think it's I know it's one of the biggest importance of worship and how we're supposed to do it upon the first day of the week. Because as humans tend to forget. I don't know about you, but if I've ever had to miss worship, whether it be for work or I was sick or whatever, it's hard to recuperate me from that. I need to be here to fellowship with y'all, to have all my brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together and pray and sing songs together, to hear the word, to give with one another. This is very important, but one I also want to mention is we come together and we partake of the Lord's Supper. And that is our reminder for Christ. In remembrance of me, that's set on your table. And I mean, it's just like you think of our members that may have missed from COVID, the pandemic, especially last year. It's hard to recover that, especially when you've been gone for weeks or months. And that's an importance of us, so that we need to reach out to them like Joshua. And because Joshua, one thing that he always did was he always constantly reminded, whether it be the people or the elders, of everything that God did for them. Joshua chapter 29, verses 29 and 30 of chapter 24. We see Joshua, he died at 110. He was buried as an inheritance. Now, verse 31, Joshua 24, verse 31. The elders knew all the works of the Lord, because throughout the book of Joshua, we see that Joshua, he was constantly reminding the elders and the people of what God did for them. Verse 31, it just speaks volumes of the influence that Joshua was. And yet Joshua does not get spoken of near as much as Moses. But we know that Joshua was a huge influence to Moses as well and to all of Israel. We see how an influence Joshua is in verse 31 by where he's... It says, to where Israel served the Lord through his life and then through the elders that outlived him. So we know how effective, for one, godly leadership is. Because even after Joshua passed on from this life, the influence that he was to the elders kept all of Israel strong. I want to look at just a few generations after Joshua's death. If you would turn to Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And somebody read that, please.
When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger.
This is where we totally see the importance of having godly leadership and godly Christians that are influenced to others, because we see total apostasy here. We are only one generation away from apostasy. We see Israel knew not the Lord, and they lacked godly leadership. And just a generation before, they were very strong. We need more godly leadership throughout our congregations around the world. We need more godly leadership of this country and the world in general. Every generation needs more people like Joshua, more people to step up. Even when the church seems faithful, we are just one generation away from apostasy. We see how Joshua lived his life from a very youth all the way to his death. But what are some characteristics that we see of Joshua? Anyone? What kind of man was he?
Teaching.
He's always teaching. He is a very faithful man. Yes, ma'am.
Leadership.
Yes, sir. We see he's a faithful man. He's a man of leadership. He was a teacher. He was a man of his word, a man of faith, a man of courage. All of these are great characteristics, and every one of these we can apply to our lives to become better Christians every day, to help spread the word of God. Just think how strong congregations all over the world would be if they just had one person like Joshua in each congregation. Please keep that in your prayers, that we will have more people like Joshua step up and fight the battles that we are fighting today in our world. Another thing, Joshua always reminded the people, we need to reach out to those, especially if y'all have any members that maybe are still gone from COVID, from the pandemic, or maybe some that have just fallen away in general. We need to reach out to them. Remind them everything that God did for them. Remind them everything that Christ did for them. Send them a letter of encouragement. I don't know about you, but I love it when I get a letter of encouragement. I'm always writing letters, but hardly ever get one. And when you get one, it feels amazing. That somebody thinking about you, caring about you. So it really works, and I encourage anybody to send a letter to somebody and to encourage someone else. You can also do a phone call, text, or go and visit, but we need to reach out to those and try to bring them back. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Somebody please read that. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. And at the end of verse 15, we see a light unto the house. You see, being a light starts in the home. It starts with being a light to our children. Many congregations that I've gotten to go visit, you see where it's mostly only elderly people. There's no youth. And we need to be a light to our youth so that our future generations of the Lord's church will keep prospering, that we will have more and more people like Joshua. And then we go on to finish Joshua chapter 24, verses 32 through 33. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of the ground which Jacob had brought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which has become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in the hill belonging to the Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. And we see Joseph and Joseph, they both were the same age at 110, and they died. So, is that the first one? So, that's the end of my lesson, but some things I would like to talk about are what are some things that we can do in our lives, that we could be more like Joshua, that we could help reach not only the lost, but help reach our own members in here, especially some of those that have fallen away. Any ideas? Comments? being an encouragement. And I talked about that, like sending a letter. I don't know if you have you ever received a letter from somebody that's encouraged you, right? You felt really good about that. Matter of fact, have Brother Obed knows him, Raul Ferris. He taught me, he goes, every card of encouragement you ever get, put that in a shoebox. That way when you're going through rough times, you open that shoebox and you got them encouragement to go back and look on. So just... Ma'am?
And know we haven't forgotten.
Exactly. Know that a lot of times when people leave, they think that we don't care about them no more. They feel that we don't care to call them, we don't care to text them, message them, but let them know that we're thinking about them. And when you do reach out to them, it's huge. Because it knows that, wow, I did have an impact on their lives, and they are thinking and they do care about it. Any more?
You go to the home and speak to them.
Go to the home and visit them? Yes, sir. That's also something good too that we could do. We could go visit, and it always helps better when you come and visit someone. It can mean mountains over a phone call. Yes, sir. Anything else? Obed?
His example. Joshua always led by example.
That's right.
When he told the people to serve God in sincerity and truth, it would not have had the impact had he not been doing it himself.
Yes, sir. And that's something we always need to watch. Everything that we do in our lives, we need to think of the example that we are being, not only to members in here, but even to like our children at home. What do our children see? You know, I've heard many times of people that they say, oh, I never want to be an elder because I see everything that the elders have to go through. And I think everybody's goal in life should so one day hopefully be an elder of the church. And we need to be examples and lights to help encourage our youth to want to get involved with the church, to one day want to get up there in that pulpit and preach a lesson, one day get up here and say a prayer, one day lead singing, be an elder, be a deacon of the church. But we need to do it and be leaders and be an example. Be the light, be the salt. Any more? Well, I really appreciate y'all having me this morning. It's so good to finally get to meet y'all. I've always heard good things from Obed about your congregation here and all the works that y'all are doing. And y'all are encouragement to me and my family. So please keep up the good work. Thank y'all.